Yeah, tonight, let's just stand, invite the presence of the Lord, Christian Worship Center, y'all get up here. Lord, we thank you for your blessings upon us tonight. We thank you for your spirit, God. Lord, we just bless you, Lord. We empower you. We ask you, Lord, just to move in this place.
Yes, Father.
Lord, let your Holy Spirit, Lord, breathe upon us and touch us, God. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Brother Lance, will you open us up in prayer? Hallelujah. Good to have Brother Lance Miller with us tonight near your church.
Yes. Thank you for having us.
Yes.
Amen. God is good. Amen. He's good all the time. Amen. He's like what Job says. He's good. He's God of the bad days and the good days. Amen. Thank God for that. Father, we just thank you for tonight. Lord, we thank you for the presence that you have here. Lord, we thank you that as your children have gathered in this place, Lord, we thank you that there is a great move of the Spirit that's taken place. Lord, we thank you that you are pleased with us. We thank you it's not because of what we've done, but because of all the thing that Jesus has done for us. Lord, we thank you. We give you praise and we give you all the honor. So tonight, as we open up this service, Lord, we do this in the holiest, most utmost being. We lift up the name of Jesus. And so, Holy Spirit, you are welcome in this place. Move on our behalf. As the enemy is growing dark, as he's growing in this area and he's trying to take over, we are going to take dominion just as you said. It is a commandment and we're going to honor that commandment. Every foot, every soul where we touch, and we are going to proclaim the goodness of Jesus. And so tonight in our prayer, that is what we're going to declare. In our worship, we're declaring that Jesus is Lord. In our words, in our deeds, we are declaring Jesus is Lord. So Holy Spirit, come in and operate through the speaker tonight. Operate through the praise and worship team tonight. Let the Spirit of the living God come in this place in a mighty, mighty move. And in Jesus' name, everyone declared, amen.
Feel these place go.
praise you by the name of David. I praise you, my God. I worship you, God. Jesus, you're worthy of our praise. You're worthy of our praise. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.
Good evening. We are so blessed to be out here tonight. We are with Grace Point Outreach Center. And we are excited to worship with you guys. All right, let's put our hands together.
Oh,
many of you guys came to worship tonight? Heavy praise is to our God. Heavy word of worship on our core. Heavy praise. Heavy praise is to our God. Sing heavy praise. Heavy praise is to our God. Heavy word of worship on our core. Heavy praise. Heavy praise is to our God. Sing hallelujah to our God. Glory hallelujah to our God. Heavy praise is to our God. Heavy praise is to our God. Heavy word of worship and one of glory. Heavy praise is to our God. Sing hallelujah. Sing hallelujah to our God. Glory hallelujah to our God. Heavy praise is to our God. God my Savior. God my healer. God my deliverer. Yes, He is. Yes, He is. God my Savior. God my healer. God my deliverer. Yes, He is. Yes, He is.
Heavy praise is to our God. Sing hallelujah to our God. Glory hallelujah to our God. Heavy praise, heavy praise is to our God.
Lord, hallelujah.
We
Oh,
unto you, slain, risen King. We lift our voice with heaven, singing worthy, Lord of all. Sing highest. And highest praises, Lord of all.
You're never gonna let me die. Ransom. Somebody give him praise. This is going to be a good night. Can we touch this down just a little bit and drop it like it's hot? Hey, the Holy Spirit didn't leave when we smile, right? If you're happy tonight, notify your face. All right, it's going to be a good night. It's going to be a good week. So here's my story. I was in Nashville, Tennessee yesterday. That's where I live. Married with four kids, wonderful kids. So I head to the airport, get to the airport, and I'm sitting there, and they say, your flight's been delayed. And I'm like, well, it's Southwest, the Walmart of flights, so of course it's been delayed. So I'm sitting there, and then they come up, and I get a notification it's been delayed again. So I was supposed to leave at 3 and end up in Dallas by 5, which would have got me to where I was speaking plenty of time. So after about 5:30, which I'm still sitting in Nashville, I should have been in Dallas a half hour ago, I think it's going to be delayed again. They come up and say it's canceled and you're not going to Dallas. And so I called a friend of mine, Mr. Chris Baker, right over there. Give him a hand. Wow. And I said, I'm supposed to be speaking in Oklahoma, 8-9 hours away. We need to get in a car and start driving. So we got here about 1 in the morning and preached this morning. And so I'm ready. The devil tried to stop it, and we won't let him, all right? Yeah. It's going to be good. So, uh-oh, somebody's attacking me. Security.
I'm sorry. I'm just listening to the Lord.
Thank you for listening to the Lord. Next time, Mark, he listens to the Lord, attack him. Thank you, brother. So this is going to be a good week. it's not going to be like a message tonight, a message tomorrow night, a message the next night. It's going to be one message through 4 days, and we're going to pick up where we left off because God has some place that he wants us to go. There's going to be breakthrough. We're going to see miracles happen because God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so if your life doesn't look like the lives of the Christians in the Bible, there's something wrong. If your prayer life is getting the same results as your neighbor who doesn't believe in God, there's a problem.
Come on.
So I want to talk through a lot of different things this week. I want to talk through finances. I want to talk through miracles. I want to talk about healing and want to break down and see results in our lives.
Yeah.
I mean, we serve a God of results.
Right.
We serve a God that doesn't talk things but get things done.
Right.
The same God that, you know, rose Christ from the dead, that same power living on the inside of you. So we're going to open that up this week, and we're expecting for big things. So plan to be here every night, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Starts at 7 each of those nights, and it is actually Bring a Friend night those nights. So I would love to see this place packed out and shouting out, and we'll have to move the sound system out onto the lawn or something. But we can do it. Oklahoma's ready, right, for a move of God? Here's the thing. We pray for revival all the time. We pray for revival. We pray for revival. I'm going to tell you that revival's here. Revival's here. It's not that you pray for revival. Revival happened 2,000 years ago. Now we don't pray for revival. We are the revival. We put our faith in what Jesus Christ did, and we understand who we are in Christ. Every big movement that happened in America, where there's been thousands and thousands that come to Christ, it didn't start from God just looking up there and being like, well, I think it's time I do something again.
Hallelujah.
It was one man starting to pray and believe.
Amen.
Pray and believe, and people start to catch that vision, and then people come with expectation. So I hope you come tonight with expectation.
Yes.
Because we're going to have a week like if the Apostle Paul was here.
Yeah. All right.
Why?
Yeah.
Because we're here.
We're here.
We're here. Same spirit that raised Christ from the dead, here, ready to move in power. See, we don't need to pray for victory anymore. We pray from victory. We pray from victory. We are not the sick, we're trying to get healed. We are healed resisting sickness now. Because Jesus paid for it all. And we're going to go there. See, the difference is everything that we preach is going to be from the right side of the cross.
Yeah.
We've got a lot of mixture in the churches.
Come on, brother.
There's a lot of mixture. There's a lot of people preaching Old Covenant still. Yeah. We're in a new day and a new time. The Bible, the Old Testament and the New Testament is the Word of God. Amen?
Yes.
It is one book. It comes together. We're not getting rid of one, but we're living in a new season. So pretend that this is the cross. The Old Testament is saying, Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. The New Testament is saying, Jesus came. Now this is what we can do.
Yeah.
And we still got a whole bunch of people just saying, well, if Jesus comes or if this happens, dear God, would you please help us, help us, help us. We're nothing without you. Well, that's true. But we're not without him, are we? We got people that will say, Lord, come be with us here at this meeting. Lord, will you just flood this place and be here? And he said, I will never leave you or forsake you. Let's change our mindset to realize that what's on the inside. Amen?
Amen.
Oh, this is going to be good. Don't even skip. And we'll just, you know, I'll just start from the beginning. My name is Ryan Edberg. I'm from Nashville, Tennessee. It's good to meet you guys. I just jump right into my mess. You have no clue who I am. Who's that kid and why does he look like that? Those jeans are way too skinny. How can he breathe? But here we are. It's going to be good. So I'm part of the Kingdom Movement, and what we do is believe the Word of God.
Amen.
We believe all of it.
Yes.
And we believe that it works.
Yeah.
So if you apply the Word works.
Yes.
And so we love to break things down and teach Scripture. We do youth conferences all over the country. And we've seen about 3,500 students come to Christ in the last couple seasons.
Hallelujah.
Set free, filled with the Holy Spirit, just moving in power, knowing who they are in Christ.
Oh,
many students come up and say, I was planning to kill myself next week with my friend, and I found hope in Jesus Christ. It's a hurting generation, but they don't know who they are in Christ. They don't know. We have a generation that doesn't even know what bathroom to use, let alone who they are in Christ. It's true. The enemy is going to attack us in our identity every time. We have identity crisis going through the country like crazy because the enemy doesn't want to know who we are in Christ and what we actually have. And so our job is to set people free and have freedom in Jesus. People are like, I don't want to be a Christian. That's not fun. There's a bunch of rules. There's so much freedom in Jesus.
Amen.
You don't even know what you're talking about if you've ever said it. Well, I don't want to go to church. There's hypocrites there. Well, really? Well, then I don't want to go to the gym because there's fat people there. That was me. I was there. If you find a perfect church, don't go there. You'll mess it up. So they find this guy on this island, and they pull up to this guy, and they're with him at an island, and the first thing, they come up to him, and they're like, they see three huts. He was there for 20 years, and they're like, we found you. What is all this place? He's like, well, that's my house. And he's like, and that's my church. And they're like, well, what about that building over there? He's like, ah, that's the church I used to go to. I don't go there anymore. It's going to be a good week. See, what we're doing is we're going to start Truth and Power. That's what we call it. Because Truth and Power, I believe that there's, we need to have both in them. Yeah. Paul said it many times in 1 Thessalonians 1:5. 1 Thessalonians 1:5, it said, my gospel did not come to you in word only. Word. How many churches you know that are just word only?
Yeah, word only.
Or word only. But also in power. Somebody say power.
Power.
And in the Holy Spirit and in much assurance. And you know that what kind of men we came to my, came among you for your sake. Also, 1 Corinthians, it says, I did not come with enticing words of men, but I came in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. We've got to have both the teaching and power. And in the church, we either have a lot of teaching, a lot of teaching, a lot of teaching, and nothing ever happens. There's a miracle that happens, and it's on the bulletin board for 6 to 8 months.
Yeah.
Because that's all that's ever happened. So we have a lot of that. When we even have churches that believe in the Holy Spirit, they believe in the power of God, they believe that, but you never actually see them practice it.
Come on.
I'm going to teach you about it, I'm going to teach you about it, I'm going to teach you about it, and then I'm going to send you off and do nothing.
Yeah.
Or you have the other side of it, where you go to some churches and there's hanging from the chandeliers, going all crazy, there's like believing God for whatever, rolling around barking like dogs, but there's no word at all. We need a word followed with power.
Yeah.
Because here's the thing. We don't go and look after power. We don't go and look for signs. We don't go and look for miracles. We look for God, and miracles will follow us. It says that these signs will follow those who believe. Do we have believers in the house? Do we have believers in the house? So there's going to be signs that follow you. You see, we have a whole church in a generation that wants to either follow the signs. Oh my goodness, look at what happened over there. Let's go there. Our next youth conference is in Colorado Springs with Andrew Womack and Todd White. So we're connecting with them. We're doing a big youth conference together. There'll be probably 3,000 people on fire. It's going to be more, just as many adults as there is students for that one. They're already calling. Well, can we come too? We're young at heart. Come on. Do it. So we're doing that. But here's the thing. With people like that, I mean, I literally went to Andrew Womack's place. I was there, and we seen just a closet full of wheelchairs. I mean, people in worship, you don't have to command miracles over that. You don't have to do anything over that. People are in worship and get up out of their wheelchair and start worshiping God. And you're like, well, I didn't pray the right prayer yet. Sit back down. You get in the presence of God and God surrounds you. You don't have to do much else. I mean, how can sickness stick around when you've got the presence of God all over you? People want to follow the signs so that they can believe in it. Well, I want to see it. I want to just see what happens. I want to see what happens. So I'm going to follow the signs. But that's not how it works. That's not what the word says. It says that the signs will follow the believers.
Yeah.
If you believe, the sign's going to happen. Why? When I taught at your church last time, I talked about it. Faith creates. Your faith is actually working to create it. That's why it works, is because you believe in something and then it follows you. It manifests it. It happens. You get into the presence of God. I had one of my mentors, very prophetic guy, and you're always like, well, I just want to move in power. I want to learn how to pray for people for healing, and it happens every time. Because I've seen it in the Bible. I've seen it happen. But it's like Russian roulette with healing. Like, I don't know if it's going to work or not. Why is that? He's like, just spend time with God, and whatever your gifting is will explode. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to practice anything. We have a lot of ministry that will go, and they're always pouring out. They're pouring out. They're pouring out, so their barrel is empty.
All right.
But your barrel should be overflowing fully so that everybody around you gets soaked and wet because of what's on the inside of you just flows out. We sometimes miss that part of it, and we miss that God's flowing out of us. He doesn't want to just fill you. He wants to move through you. We have a whole church that's like, fill me, Lord, fill me, Lord. Well, it's said that you were given the Spirit without measure. How much more do you want? You've got it all. How about using it? Huh? How about using what you've got? Let him out once in a while.
All
right. I was preaching this morning. I said there's people in your town, in your workplace, that are hurting for a miracle.
Yeah.
Hurting from a touch from God in their finances, in their marriage, with their kids, with everything. Maybe their physical body. They need a miracle. And you're sitting a seat or two away from them every single day. You've got what they're looking for. Let it out. I mean, it's time to stop playing church and start being the church. I don't want to play church anymore. We don't have time to come on a Monday night or a Tuesday night. We've got everything else. There's a million excuses not to come. The only reason to come is that we want God to move through us, that we can get fired up of what he's already done. We put our faith, we're preaching from the right side of the cross. It's all been paid for, it's all been done, and now we access it. By our faith. Yeah. Amen?
Amen.
I had this gal come up to me, and I said that there's not this magical prayer that you do for healing. You know, well, if I say it like this, will it work? If I do it like that, will it work? Healing is more of the right teaching for a while.
Yeah.
You need to rewire your mind. She was praying for healing for her son for 3 years out of church. Every day, every Sunday. They were praying for the son, whatever. They came and they were with us, and we did two groups, and they're two like little Bible studies, and his son was totally healed. It was the right teaching to come in to get a revelation of what Jesus already did. So now we're not begging Jesus anymore, but putting our faith in what he did. You know, we talked about it before, salvation. You know, if we were to have an altar call tonight and just say, hey, if you want to receive Jesus, come down to the altars and just cry out to God. Let's just say, Jesus, die on the cross. Jesus, will you die on the cross for me? Please die on the cross. Won't you please die on the cross? That would be silly because he's already died on the cross. Salvation happens when we put our faith in Jesus Christ and what he's already done. It's not a magical prayer. Well, did you say it right? Did you say, please forgive me of my sins and do this? Did you say the sinner's prayer? Show me the sinner's prayer in the Bible. It says, put your faith in Jesus Christ. Confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, and you will be saved. Well, but what about baptism? Or what about this? Or it's great to be baptized, but what about the thief on the cross? I believe fully you need to be baptized. But I don't think that's for salvation. It says, believe in your heart, confess with your mouth, and you will be saved. Yeah, but Jesus, you're just kidding about that. What about this, this, and this? I did a podcast the other day that said, anything added to Jesus is not the gospel. And he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. I'm the only way. And we're like, that's true. But you've also got to do this. You've got to do that. You've got to do this. And you're like, you're just like the Pharisees. Matthew 23 is Jesus rebuking the Pharisees for a whole chapter. Rebuking them, saying, you're putting a yoke on them that you can't even do yourself.
Yeah.
And we do that. A new Christian comes in there like, well, you got to stop this, and you got to stop this, and you got to stop this, and you need to walk like this, and you're got all messed up inside too. But you're like, well, this is how you should do it, but I'm also a screwball, but I know what to do. So I'm going to tell you, and you do it, because I'm more of a shepherd that just guides, tells you what to do. But Jesus said, you Pharisees, you put a yoke on people you can't even do. Here's what he says in Matthew 11, 28. He says, come to me, all you who are labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Right before that, in 23, he was telling the Pharisees, or after, he was telling the Pharisees, you're putting a yoke on them that's too heavy. It's too heavy. You see, we've got to understand the difference between Old Covenant and New Covenant. There's a huge difference. You see, the Old Covenant, we're like the law. We're like, well, the law is perfect. Yeah, the law is perfect. You got to do this, you got to do that. Well, do you follow the Ten Commandments? It's not Ten Commandments, like 623. You probably know you're a pastor. I just cut my hair weird once in a while. I don't know. But 600 and some commandments, and Jesus doubles down on it and says, if you're guilty of one, you're guilty of them all.
Yeah, what
I said. Can you follow 600 and some? I can't even remember 600 and some. But the law was never meant for you to fulfill.
Right.
The law was never meant for us to do. The law was to show us that we're all sinners and need a Savior. The law was only there to show us you can't do it without Jesus. The law was never meant for us to do, and we're still today trying to do the law. Still today we have churches trying to do the law, which is impossible. We add on to Jesus. Now, am I saying that sin is okay, whatever? Of course not. In fact, when Paul preached grace, 3-4 times they came up and said, are you saying we can do whatever we want? If you preach the grace message correctly, you should have people ask, oh, wait a second. Does that mean we're free to do whatever? Certainly not. The goal in life is to be free from sin.
Yes, amen.
Jesus freed us from sin.
Right.
Not free to sin. He freed us from sin.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a difference.
Yeah.
And we think, well, we can do... See, what happens is we want to be free from sin. So we focus on sin to try to get rid of it.
Yep.
And so we just focus on sin. We focus on sin. Well, I got to get rid of this in my life. I got to get rid of this in my life. I got to get rid of this in my life. And all you're doing is thinking about the problem.
Yep.
We need to think about the solution. Put our eyes on Jesus. We focus on Jesus and the sin will go away.
Yes,
if you focus on trying to get rid of your sin, you will never do it. You can never complete the law. If you focus on Jesus and getting closer to Jesus, within years you'll be like, I haven't even struggled with that anymore. I haven't even struggled with that anymore. I'm free. I'm free. There's freedom in Jesus. Now that you're free from it, but the whole church, instead of going about the freedom way, they're saying, well, you can't do this. You can't do that. You can't do this. That's not the scripture. It says, if you believe in Jesus Christ, you will be saved. Now, walk closer to him so all that garbage can go away so that you can walk after him and do all that you've called to do. 30, 60, and 100 fold. But it's up to you on how far you want to go with it. Because you got to run after Jesus. Deuteronomy 28. It's all about the law. If you want to go study it out. Deuteronomy 28. I like to go and read the whole law, but it would really bore you and you'd probably all leave. So I'm not going to do that because it's long and it's like, if you do this, you will die. If you do this, you will die. If you do this, you will be cursed. But here's the thing. To sum up the law in a little phrase is, it's all about you. If you do this, this will happen to you. If you do this, this will happen to you. So if you do bad, bad will happen. If you do good, God will bless you. It's that simple. That's the law. It's all about you. It's selfish. You can't do it. Here's the new covenant. It's all about Jesus.
Yeah.
It's all about Jesus and what he did. On my best day, I wasn't good enough. Thank God it's not what I did, but what he did.
Yeah.
And if I'm in him, I've completed the law.
Hallelujah.
Amen?
Yeah.
There's freedom in that, to realize I don't have to do something that's already been completed.
Yeah.
I don't have to try to do something now. I don't have to worry about, well, did I do this in script? Oops, did I say a bad word? Oops, did I just do this? Oops. Yeah, I don't want that in my life because it'll take me from where I'm supposed to go. But God's not like, ooh, that was a bad one. You better come back down and repent. When we do these youth conferences, we get the worst questions ever. It'll make you so angry and sad. I had a mom ask me if her son that committed suicide was going to hell. You say to a mom like that? Yeah? Well, I said, did he know Jesus? Yeah. I said, well, here's the thing. Can you work your way into heaven? But you can work your way out. See, we go back to our works real quick as Christians. We're sick and we're like, did I do something wrong? Something happens. It's really easy for me to think that my flight is canceled. I'm like, Lord, did I do something wrong? Like, are you trying to stop me from going here? What's happening? It's easy to fall back into the law so quick. You know, if I have a bus coming straight at me and I'm like, oh, and die, and I say a bad word, am I going to hell? Well, no. But if he committed suicide, then we're like, well, that's an unforgivable sin. Like, no, sin is sin to God. Did he know Christ Jesus? Did he know Jesus? There's freedom in that. There's freedom when you understand Jesus and what he did and what he paid for you. We preached at your church and we talked about salvation isn't free. People talk about it's a free gift. It was not free. It was the highest price ever paid.
Right. Amen.
You didn't have to pay for it, but it was paid with a high price. So the law is all about you. In Jesus, it's all about what he did. Let me read this to you. This is going to, you've probably read this 100 times, but this will change your life if you get a revelation of it. If you don't, they were talking to Paul and said the word didn't do them any good because it wasn't mixed with faith. They didn't get it. So tonight, get it. Grab it. This is yours. Here it is, Galatians 3, 13 and 14. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. I could just stop right there and just say goodnight. Let's go have hot dogs out there by a fire or something. I mean, we're at a campground. Right there. The curse of the law. What was the curse of the law? If you do bad, bad's going to happen to you. If you screw up, you better watch out. Like, if you just pick up a stick on the Sabbath, you're about to die.
Yeah.
And your sheep are going to die too. You got any goats that are spotted, they'll die too. So you've been redeemed from the curse of the law. So that doesn't apply to you anymore. So if you're in the mindset of, well, I wonder if I'm doing this right because bad things are happening to me, you have to understand you're redeemed from the curse. Here's another thing. A lot of people, a lot of Christians will talk about, well, I've just got this generational curse on me. I've got this family curse. Well, my dad was abusive and then his dad was abusive and his dad, so this is why I'm this way. No, you've been redeemed from the curse. You don't have to take that anymore because you've been redeemed from it. Well, my family had finances and their family had finances and they all had financial issues. And so that's why we're doing this. We're under this generational family curse. No, you've been redeemed from the curse through Jesus Christ. Don't accept it. The devil will still try to give you the option to be under that curse. He's going to, if you take it, that's yours. Don't resist it. Say, I've been redeemed from the curse. I don't know why it took 15 minutes on one line, but being redeemed because he was made a curse for all of us.
Yes.
For it is written, curses anyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessings of Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus. See, the Jews were God's people. The Gentiles was everybody else. So either you're a Jew in your heritage and you're God's people, or you're a Gentile and you're still included. So you have been redeemed from the curse, that now the blessings of Abraham might come onto you. So what are the blessings of Abraham, the richest man in the world at that time? That God said, he's the richest man, I'm going to bless him more. Lord, that's not fair. I thought you don't like money. I thought you want us all to be broke. Why are you making a covenant with the richest man in the world? Think about it. So that the blessings of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through who? Jesus Christ. That we might receive the promise of his Spirit through faith. We get the blessings through Jesus, through what he's done, and through his Spirit with our faith. What are you believing for? We have a whole generation that's like, I'm a believer, I'm a believer, I'm a believer. Well, do you want to be healed? Well, no, I don't. I mean, God could heal me or could. I thought you were a believer. Well, I believe in salvation. Well, I don't believe, I don't believe, I don't believe. I'm a believer. What? Do you believe or do you not believe? See, Jesus paid for, oh my goodness, he paid for so much on the cross. There's a story that I don't believe is true. But it was about an immigrant that had come, he wanted to come to America so bad that he saved up everything he ever could and finally bought a ticket to come across on a boat to America. And it was a month-long journey, and he was on there. And so he was on there, came across, and he was just there, you know, I'm just going to eat his cheese and crackers. And he was just eating these cheese and crackers and would see them on this boat with the nice buffets in there with everything to eat. And he just didn't have enough because he used everything that he had to get the boat ride. And so at the end, the captain's like, do you have a problem with our food? And he's like, no, I don't. I just didn't have enough money for it. And he said, no, you don't understand that the ticket covered everything. It was all inclusive. Everything was paid for. You just didn't choose to go get it.
All right, come on. Good.
So there's so much that Jesus had paid for on the cross, but some of us are just willing to sit back and be fine, just coasting through life. Wow. Like the Israelites with the manna, which was just enough for the day. I don't want that for my life. I want the lamb flowing in milk and honey. I want the blessings of God on my life. I want the blessings of God to be moving in power.
Yes, amen.
God is only limited by you. Think about it. The God that can create universes and a billion, trillion, whatever, I don't even know how many stars with his voice and just flung them into place. And we're like, God, you can't do this. I know you could create people with your words, but I've got this cough, and it just, I don't know if you can get it to go away.
What?
Are you a believer or are you not a believer? Like, that is nothing to God.
Amen.
We were listening to a message on the drive here, and one of my pastor friends, preacher friends, he was walking in, and or he was preaching, and he was going into a place, and they started to celebrate him. They started to celebrate him, and he wanted to be like, no, 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 it's not me, it's not me. And God spoke to him and said, stop that. What if when I was coming into Jerusalem and they started to lay down palm branches, what if the donkey would have turned around and said, no, it's not me, it's not me. He's like, it's not you, no, it's me, you're just carrying me.
All right. Yeah, that's good. Amen.
You're just carrying him. It's not you. If the miracle happens, great. He's working through you.
Right.
If they, people start to celebrate you because of the gift of God inside of you, praise God, it's not you. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. On my own, not too special. You can ask my wife, she'll agree. But through Christ, what can we do? I want to read this to you because I'm going to really knock this out of the park for you. It says in Isaiah, or Luke 4:18, who's quoting Isaiah 61, it says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Think about that statement for a moment. The gospel is the good news. What is the good news to somebody that's poor? You don't have to be poor anymore. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and to recover sight to the blind, and set liberty to those who are oppressed. There's so much that he has called us to do. In Luke 9, 1 and 2, then he called the 12 disciples. He gave them power and authority. He gave them power and authority. He gave you power and authority. He gave you power and authority. He said he gave them power and authority over all demons, and to cure diseases. He sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. He sent them to go and heal the sick. He sent you to go and heal the sick. You can never get God to do something he commanded you to do.
All right.
He's empowered and given you and gave you a command. If he's commanded you to do it, you can't throw it back on him and ask you to do it. If I tell my kids to go pick up their room, they can't come and ask me to go pick up their room. He's empowered you, paid for it all on the cross, died and paid a high price, empowered it for you and gave it to you, and you can't throw it back on him and say, God, why haven't you done anything?
Yeah.
I've done everything. It's time for you to do what I commanded you to do.
Yeah.
It's different.
Good.
So he sent them to heal the sick. And in Matthew 10, 7 through 8, let's just keep pounding this in so it gets in there. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give. You see, these are not as you go. He's not requesting, please do this. Or when you go, I want you to pray for the sick. No, he said, heal the sick. He said, heal the sick. When you go out there, please beg me, and if I'm in a good mood, and if I've got time, I will come down and do something. No, he said, you go out, you heal the sick, you cast out demons. Why? Because freely you've been given. I've given you everything, and we're going to go there this week. I'm going to break this down and what is actually given to you in the new covenant and what is yours. And hopefully we get revelation of who we are in Christ so that we can go out there and we can look just like the disciples, just like Jesus. We're not supposed to. Jesus came not to show off, but to show us what's possible. To show us what's possible. He said, you're going to do greater things than these. And I heard people preach and say, well, greater things than these means the Holy Spirit now is in millions of Christians all over. So we're all doing many things. And I agree with that. But Jesus put mud in people's eyes, told them to wash it off. And then he saw people walking like trees. And then he prayed for them again. Jesus would send people to go dip 7 times. He would do certain things. And then after Jesus left and sent the Holy Spirit, their shadows would walk on people. They would lay people in the free. And now shadows would touch people and they would be healed. What's possible? What is your faith willing to push through? What are you willing to believe for? God's trying to use you.
Amen.
In a big way. It says in John 3:34, this is what I was talking about. It says, for he whom God has sent speaks the word of God. And God does not give the Spirit by measure. Oftentimes we'll just pray, God, give us more. Fill us more, Lord. Fill us more. Fill us more. No. Access what you already have. Work what you already have. Pull it out. It's like a muscle. You've got to work it. You know, you don't get these from... Okay, this is a better example. Your spiritual faith will look like this if you don't work the muscle. If you don't go to the gym, you'll look like me.
Yeah.
But if you work your spiritual muscles, they'll grow. You want to see people raised from the dead? Pray for a headache to start with.
Yeah.
You want to believe for financial breakthrough in your family? Pray over your phone bill first.
Yeah.
Work the muscle. We're all set. We want to cry out to God when it's cancer and it's you've got a week left to live. Lord, help! 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 I've given you 40 years to work on this. Why do we always run to God when it's an emergency?
Yeah, think about it.
Work right now. Start to work on stuff.
Come on, man.
It says that he gives people the gift of healing. That's because he knows that there's going to be people that need a miracle and a breakthrough right now, or they're not going to make it because they don't have time to switch their thinking around. Well, you all have it.
Yeah.
It's the same spirit inside of you. There's 7 or 8 different ways of healing in the Bible. We're going to go through those on Wednesday, I believe. Just different ways of healing and how it works. But God has set up so much for you to win. We're going to show you that God wants you to be healed, that it is his will to be healed, for you to prosper. I'm going to break down scripture and show you many things through that. I want to end with this right here and just show you this. It says, you see, man, it's just a different mindset. And if we can switch our thinking to it, it's easy to go right back into the law. It is. And that's why it says to renew your mind daily. You know, there's a gift of faith. But the rest of us have to renew our mind daily to the Word of God. And because it's easy to let this world just hit at you, you know. And I know when life starts to happen to me that I haven't been in my word when I start to get afraid. And I start to fear and I start to look around. I'm like, I haven't been in my word. I need to get back into that. I need to get back into the routine to renew my mind. Because right now, we don't need to pray for victory. We pray from victory. We're praying from victory. It's already been won. It's already been paid. So you can stand on it. It's already been paid. And I'm in Jesus now. And so I can pray against this stuff. You're no longer the sick trying to get healed. You're the healed resisting what the devil's trying to put on you. It's different. You're praying from victory. Every time resisting that, he says that he walks around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may destroy. He doesn't even know if he can destroy you, but he'll test you and see if you're going to let him. I'm going to poke this one a little bit and see if they fall over. Oh, they don't even know who they are in Christ. The devil is not afraid of who you are in Christ. He already knows. He's afraid you'll figure it out. My people will perish because of lack of knowledge. If you don't know it, it's hard to win a battle when you don't know you're in a battle. Ouch, ouch, who's fighting me? I keep getting hit. My finances, my health, my family members, why are they all angry at me? What's happening? Lord, what are you trying to teach me? I've come to give you life and life more abundantly. The enemy's coming to steal, kill, and destroy. What's happening? Is it stealing, killing, and destroying? Yes, Lord, what are you trying to teach me? Pray from victory against that. I've come to give you life and life more abundantly. It's different. We've got such a mixture back and forth of law and new covenant. Law and new covenant. I heard pastors preach it all the time. They're like, God is good. And all the time. So they get up and they start with that. And they're like, Sister so-and-so, I'm sorry your son died of cancer. We don't know the ways of the Lord. But, you know, all things work together for good. All right, let's get on with worship. And you're like, what's the stupidest thing I've ever heard in my life? Is he good all the time, or did he just take her son of cancer? That's not good. You know, even under the law and under the curse of the law, sickness was in there. It was never from God. It was always under the curse. Praise God, we've been redeemed from the curse.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
It's good, huh? I get excited. It's such a reveal. You know, I used to just be so frustrated in life. I used to be like, God, nothing is working. Where are you? You switch your thinking, you switch your prayer life, and stuff starts to work, and you're like, thank you, Lord. I'm just an idiot. If only you would have written a book or a manual, it would have been easier, Lord. Can you give me a how-to book? Oh, you did. I'm too tired to read it. I'll do anything to lose weight except for diet and exercise. I'll do anything, Lord, to be closer to you and have victory in my life except for read your guide and spend time with you. All right, here's what I'm going to end with for real. See, you say if you're going to end, then everybody gets right back in. So welcome back. All right. Says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Remember that word salvation. To everyone that believes, to the Jews first, and then also to the Greeks. That's Romans 1:16. The Greek word that was used there for salvation was sozo. And that sozo salvation part that he was talking about is one suffering from disease to make well, to restore, to heal. There's so much in that word of the Greek. And when we translate stuff from the Greek into English, we use part of a definition because we don't have words like that in the English dictionary. So when he says salvation unto you, he was talking about all that is all yours, all been paid for. All of it's there. The gospel is the good news. The good news that I preach to the poor. The good news is you don't have to be poor anymore. I come to preach the gospel to the sick. You don't have to be sick anymore. I come to preach the good news, the gospel to the lost. That is, you don't have to be lost anymore. There's so much that he goes into, and we have churches that don't believe all of it. They just want to take bits and pieces because the rest makes them feel uncomfortable. And it puts responsibility on ourselves to actually push through. Well, he paid it all. Now it's up to you to grab what he's already done. Well, I don't like that. I just want to sit back and, you know, sip on my iced tea and say, Lord, if it's your will. So let me show you this. Here's where it all comes down to. John 14:27. Listen to this. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. Not as the world gives you, do I give you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. See, this is so strong. You may not get it right away, but this is so strong. You see, the world is going to hit you hard. The devil is going to hit you hard to see if he can destroy you, to see if you know who you are in Christ, to see if you actually understand the gift that was paid for you. Everything covered. Are you going to take everything at the buffet or just sit there and have your cracker and say, Lord, I made it to heaven. He's like, good job. That was easy, wasn't it? And what if you didn't do anything? I don't want to offend you, but I do. Yeah. My peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. Not as the world gives you, gives do I give you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Some of you are sitting there and you're saying, how can I not let my heart be troubled? You don't know what's going on in my life. You don't understand the situations that I'm going through. My friend just killed themselves. My parents just did this. I can't even live there. I've heard all of it. How can you say, let not your heart be troubled? You don't understand. I'm about to go bankrupt. I'm about to lose my house. You don't understand what we're going through. I lost my wife and my kids, whatever. I had this 14-year-old little old girl that was telling me her life story, sobbing ugly cries, just saying that she had her family die in front of her. She went to an uncle's house who did horrible things, and the police took her away. She went into foster care with the foster parent, tripped and fell in front of her and was killed in front of her, and now she's here trying to hear of a God that loves you. Let not your heart be troubled. Life is troublesome. I'm not trying to paint rainbows in the sky for you. I'm trying to paint Jesus Christ and what he's paid for you. Let not your heart be troubled. This is what it means. We say the word peace. Peace in the Greek was actually shalom. Shalom in the Greek, what Jesus actually said, shalom, the full meaning of shalom. Let me read this to you, and if you don't cry, you're probably not a Christian. Just kidding. The Hebrew in what shalom actually means, it's the word meaning peace, harmony, wholeness, completeness, prosperity, welfare, and tranquility, all in one.
Hallelujah.
Good. And we translate it as peace. We think of peace and we're like, well, let's just sit in a hammock by the lake. That's peace. I don't have no worries. No, this is what Jesus was saying. He was saying, let not your heart be troubled, because my peace, my prosperity, my wholeness, my healing, my prosperity, mine, I'm leaving with you. It's mine. Yours isn't going to be good enough, but I'm going to leave mine with you because I paid for it. Let not your heart be troubled, because I paid it all. I've given you wholeness. I've given you healing. I've given you completeness. Let not your heart be troubled, because I paid for it all. I paid for sickness. I paid for you to be in prosperity. Let not your heart be troubled. That's why it's so important to understand what they were actually saying, what Jesus was actually trying to get across when he said, let not your heart be troubled. Why can you say that? Because I've already paid it. It's yours.
Yeah.
Grab it. You need his shalom? I need his shalom. I need everything that he has wrapped into one. Such a thick, full word that means everything that Jesus paid is now mine. So I don't have to let my heart get troubled if I can actually capture that word. If I can actually say that this is mine. In John 16:33, it says, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. Yeah. The same word again. In me you may have shalom. So these things I have spoken to you, in me you can have shalom. In me you can have everything. In the world you will have tribulation. That's a promise. In me, you're going to have shalom. In the world, you're going to have tribulation. Are you in him or are you in the world? You see, when the Israelites were there and they were being free, the Egyptians had tribulation.
Yeah.
But the Israelites, it didn't happen to them. It didn't happen to them. Now Jesus has paid for it all. That was even before the cross. They didn't have his full shalom then. But the tribulation didn't hit them because it was God's people. Now for you, the world is going to go crazy in the next several years. It's going to go crazy. How you deal with it is up to you. Because even Jesus said, the ruler of this world is coming, but be of good cheer. He's got nothing in me.
Yeah.
I've already conquered him. And we're going to go there tomorrow. We're going to talk about dominion, and we're going to break it all down. And I hope the scales fall from your eyes, and you just run out there, and you're able to, you know, raise the dead. Because it's really so powerful when you understand all of that. If I could get the keys or acoustic back, I'm going to pray for some people. And we're going to see breakthrough tonight. Because we didn't get all dressed up for nothing, right?